make our property tax system, our property tax collection, simply more volatile. To the extent that we do get a big jump in in values, we can experience 4%, 5%, 6% growth in property taxes. So it sort of is something that that we're working our way through and trying to understand it as best we can and model as best we can, because compression, again, is on an individual property basis. Mm-hmm. So it makes it a little more difficult.
I said one more.
Yeah, go ahead.
My final question is, you said that business license fees or business license revenues are at 15%. I think, I just want to make sure, for the record, I think you might create the impression that they're only 15% of what they were a year ago. Oh. What you mean to say is we've only collected 15% at this point in time, and we will get 100% of revenues.
Absolutely, Commissioner. Okay. I'm sorry I misspoke. But yes, we typically business license taxes are very heavily weighted towards the second half of the year, and that makes it difficult to come up with massive or even significant revenue forecast changes for this particular forecast. That's not the case in April.
Just remind me or help me remember correctly, is it possible that one of the reasons that the growth in property tax revenues has slowed is improvements on property have slowed, and that is the only way that local governments get increased property value, the cash for increased property values?
Yeah, Mayor, that's true to some extent, although in the grand scheme of things, it's not dramatic.
Okay.
I think when looking at, I was looking at it just this morning, looking at changes in real market value from last year to this year, almost all of it is accounted for in simply residential improved property values dropping, so housing okay. prices dropping. But yes, no, that is true. To the extent we do see a boom in property construction, that will only benefit our tax okay. rolls.
All right, any other discussion?
If I can just clarify one thing about the primer on compression. You know, there is some talk of a number of potential levies, bond measures, kinds of things. I mean, we're hearing talk about things for the arts, renewal of the children's levy potentially, bond for parks, a school bond measure. I mean, there's probably five or six things that are out there in the ether, and we may not have a lot of control over what goes to the voters on what sequence. We have some influence, but we don't actually have a control over most of those. But I would say that it would be useful information for us to run some scenarios in your primer about the impact of some of those things on our general fund. I think we need to start engaging in the environment of compression. We need to be thinking about these things in terms of how it impacts our bottom line and other jurisdiction bottom and special districts and other governmental bodies. That has to be part of our conversation.
Absolutely.
Particularly mm-hmm. if there's a choice between going special district or just renewing a levy.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, I just want to interrupt and ask the city attorney, may I allow the mayor to vote and then we can continue this conversation?
Or are you done?
Well, I have some questions too.
Okay.
Am I allowed to do that?
On an item, and then you move on to the next item.
Can we suspend the rules to allow the mayor to vote now?
Can you send your questions by email?
So well, I think I should get a turn to talk since
he's going to a funeral.
So
I understand that.
If I was to vote, I would vote for.
Thank you, Mayor. We definitely need a button system so that we take it in turns to have our questions asked. I'm working on that. Thank you very much for the information that you've provided. The $17.4 million ongoing cut is listed for 12-13 in the forecast. What is the assumption of the ongoing cut for this year, for 11-12?
Yeah, actually, there is. So if you look, it's page 4 of the forecast. If you have it in front of you, we sort of go through the revenue categories for both 11-12 and 12-13. There is some property tax decline in the current year. In total, when we look at all the revenue sources of what we know right now, there's probably about a $4 million decline in expected revenues in 11-12. However, it is still relative. So there's a couple things there. That's a relatively small amount. It's about 1% of the overall general fund. And so it's still a relatively small amount. We still have business license taxes to come in, which again could offset a little bit of that. And so from our perspective, we're not recommending any action in 11-12. Again, we make some certain assumptions about ending fund balance, and depending on how Bureau expenditures go throughout the year and these revenues, we will adjust those ending fund balances when we come back to you in April or May for the forecast. So again, we can absorb a cut of that magnitude if it doesn't grow any larger through simply just, you know, adjusting ending fund balance and essentially making those reductions in 12-13 and beyond. If, and we will continue to monitor it closely, though, if that were to grow much larger than $4 million, we may be coming back to Council with a recommendation for mid-year cuts.
So do you have at this point a recommendation for or a thought as to whether we're going to be looking at 4 or 6 or 8?
Well, again, right now, with everything we know, 4.7% is the ongoing cut necessary to balance. And again, there are a lot of changes that might occur between now and April, but again, by policy, we forecast on a relatively conservative basis, so there's probably a little bit more, you know, good side risk than there is downside risk. But with that said, there are a lot of external things that could impact us negatively. So
thank you. And let me just go back to the previous discussion on
actually, I'm sorry, Commissioner, I just want to clarify, 4.7% ongoing does not include a library special district. It goes up to between 6.1 and 6.5%
right,
with a library district.
And your previous memo to us was very helpful in laying out the scenarios. So just to go back to the compression issue, and I know I appreciate that we're going to get a primer on it, but in a nutshell, it's that the pie doesn't get any bigger. And so the voters will be choosing, if there is a library levy, they will be choosing between library and services to children.
Yeah, Commissioner Fritz, that's true for properties that are in compression. For properties that aren't, which is most of Northeast Portland, largely, they will see an increase in taxes should they go through a special district. And we won't see a loss. Our loss is concentrated on those individual properties that are in compression. But to the extent that they're in compression, yes, you're correct.
It was remarkable to me that my home and one of my staff's home, which is about a mile apart, my property taxes went down and his went up this year. I mean, the whole Measure 5, 4750 scenario doesn't make any sense in terms of fairness or equity or predictability. So I think that's a challenge for the state legislature and the voters of Oregon to take up again, because clearly we're now seeing the challenges, both in the school funding and in city funding, regarding the inequities that were created there. But thank you very much for this.
Just one other point, Andrew. In your five-year forecast, you have no available one-time in 13 to 17. Obviously, there would be available one time if we cut deeper into ongoing to create it. But you're saying that in terms of starting the fiscal year, two fiscal years from now, we would start with a zero balance and no one time to cover the shadow?
All else equal, yes. There is, and Josh can talk a little bit about this, there's a little bit of a functionality in terms of the way the model works that we will generally, there will be some one time that does show up, but it's not forecast one time. So we are forecasting the one time in 12-13 based on some of the actions Council took to set aside some reserve and, you know, and plan for next year. Generally, when we look back over all of our forecasts, one time does show up, but it's been something that that structurally in the model isn't forecast. But I think your overall point, and so again, Josh can talk about the specifics, but your overall point is right, though. This forecast does show the one time going, you know, to a much lower level than what we've had in the past.
Which means that while we've in past years been able to cobble the money together to handle the shadow budget, which disproportionately covers the safety net services and things like that of the city, and some public safety backfill, we're coming to a point where that may not be possible, and we'd have to find, and that we're truly no longer sustainable in terms of funding the shadow budget.
Yeah, and I would yes, that strategy would certainly be at risk, which is again why we define it as one-time revenue, because of the uncertainty going forward that it will be there.
And at the same time, we don't have the ability to convert any of this to ongoing.
Without deeper ongoing cuts, that's how it would be converted.
So some Hobbesian choices. Okay. Thank you.
Any further discussion from Council? Thank you, gentlemen. Does anybody want to testify on this issue?
No one signed up.
Seeing nobody, please call the vote.
Do you want a motion to accept the report?
To adopt the report.
Second.
Thank you.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye. Thank you very much for your work. We now have a time certain. Please read the title for 1296.
Accept report of Portland State University Capstone Class Films about local solutions to global issues.
This is an item introduced by Mayor Adams, so I'm hoping that you...
I can wing it.
All right, very good.
Commissioners, how are you?
Thanks.
So I'm pleased today to introduce two Portland State seniors. As you're hopefully all aware, Portland State has a remarkable program, the Capstone Program.
Could you introduce yourself first?
I'm Phil Bussey. Nice to be here this morning.
Thank you.
It's funny, that's one of the first things that I tell my students on presentations is tell your name. So I think I just take a few demerit points. Portland State has a remarkable program, the Capstone Program. Graduating seniors are all required to have a semester-long class where they learn about civic engagement, work with local nonprofits. And the class that I taught this semester was producing documentaries for local solutions to global issues. One of the first steps was to solicit some ideas about what is happening in Portland in all of your offices, and were really kind to present some ideas of what students should make films about. In fact, we were overwhelmed, and Amanda, Commissioner Fritz, thank you so much for, I think it was an email that came at about 10 p.m. One night, you must have been working late, with a list of an incredible number of programs. The students then chose from this list programs that they wanted to highlight on, and perhaps not surprisingly, three of the four films that were made were about homeless issues. And the fourth film, which we'll see today, was made about inequality of wireless services. And so these are all local solutions to global issues. I'm pleased to present two graduating seniors.
Hi. My name is Daryl James, and we'll get to the movies in just one second. I just want to say a quick word about why we chose to work with the subject that we did. So we actually chose to do, that's myself and my teammates back there, Gabe and Gabriel Gard and Perry Akhmadi. We worked with the Circus Project, which is run by Jen Cohen. You may have seen a story on it in the Willamette Week just a couple weeks ago. In a nutshell, Jen uses her expertise as a circus arts instructor to bring about societal reintegration of homeless youth. We chose to work with her for a number of reasons. Not the least, we sensed the program was more than the sum of its parts. As you'll see, she pushes her kids really hard, holds them to very high standards of work. And the program itself is exemplary in that it really engages the participants' own creativity as a source of motivation and ultimately of change as well. So... The students that she works with, they really gain much more than you know, new physical abilities or habits or ways of interacting with others. There are all these intangibles like confidence and responsibility and insight that we felt the medium of film could really highlight. So, no further ado, this is Cirque Odyssey, which is a name we poached from the final performance that they put on last week.
Just to quickly provide a little context, so the students produced four films. We're showing two that they selected to introduce to City Council. Each are about 5 minutes long. And while the hourglass goes, I should actually, apropos, give a thank you to Portland Community Media, which Portland State was very happy to partner with. We had a very good opportunity for them to provide equipment and access, so we were pleased with our interaction with them. Technical difficulties?
Yes, the hourglass is still...
Brett, why don't you take this opportunity just to introduce your film, and we can just show them back to back then.
Okay, sure. My name is Brett Kelly. We worked, me and my team, Ian and Sean, worked on the Personal Telco documentary, and it's basically just discussing the inequality in broadband internet access across the United States and some possible solutions that maybe the city of Portland could implement.
Why don't we Brett, could I grab your video and see if we can make that?
Yeah, it froze, but I'll redo this one.
I think there's a jinx in City Hall because even our Office of Community Technology had a problem with showing their videos. So don't feel badly.
While we're waiting, I should probably announce that the Portland Marathon yesterday gave us a check for $4,000 towards our Restore Our Historic Parks Fund. And they end their event at Lounsdale and Chapman, and they gave us $4,000, and we're almost at the halfway mark between Umpqua, Portland Marathon, and individual contributions, halfway to covering the costs, the forecast costs of restoring Bo.
That's great.
So we were very pleased to accept them.
Well, I'm sending a link to that donation site to the 400-plus folks who sent us the petition over the weekend. So hopefully we'll get some more donations from that.
I think one of these are... Brett, do you have this on the website?
Yeah. Can we pull it up real fast?
Looks like something. This is what's happening.
This is going.
Oh, there we go.
You got sound?
Well done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It's the videos.
Playing, but there's
not,
no audio.
It's not pulling any audio.
Oh,
there we go.
Here we go.
Okay. We're in business.
And just click it back real fast. But just give
scared
it
scared to.
Yeah.
Experience. Well
here
done.
We go. Thanks for bearing with.
Permissive or dismissive lifestyle, and you don't push yourself to do anything. Yeah, coming from that sort of lax lifestyle into this very, I wake up in the morning and I have this whole routine for when I eat, when I work out, when I go to class, what I do in class, how many times I do those things in class.
The circus is a very demanding thing. With Jen here, you know, she's out doing this great thing, but this, she is leaving a lot of what we do here to us. A lot of cross training is up to us. The way we support our ability to be in here, like all the work study we do, that's all on us.
So we're holding them to a professional level, which is really different than some other programs around. Really charismatic and really kind of very spiritual about them that pulls them forward despite their difficulties, otherwise they wouldn't be here.
Circus, you're competing with yourself to be better. Better, harder, faster, more, all the time.
Being in the role of saying no to somebody, it's excruciating, and sometimes it's the kindest thing I think I can do for them, the biggest gift I can give, because somebody's got to care enough to say no to these kids sometimes.
Taking kids who just like ran away, and then we're using circus as a tool to help re-assimilate kids into that society.
Showers are nice.
That's really good.
Yeah, and then the second film is
So the students also made films about street roots, and as well as the My Voice Music, which is about a school that teaches music skills and rock and roll for helping recovering addicts and homeless kids. And then the fourth film was about some of the inequalities, the digital divide.
You have to click on the title. I just click on the actual, the word, wireless fidelity. Infidelity, yeah.
So I think one of the wonderful things about the course was the opportunity to introduce students to a lot of the great solutions that Portland's putting forward, that small nonprofits are doing, whether it's working with homeless youth or trying to help get some internet connections.
Build neighborhood networks that people could connect to, and then we would make links between the neighborhoods.
The students have is that the students are looking to distribute these films and help the nonprofits get their messages out. I'll make sure that the students forward a copy or a YouTube link to you.
State they've left us in, you know, behind many other countries in the world as far as broadband speeds, definitely price, you know, and freedom.
Are you curious to see where the U.S. ranks worldwide when it comes to average speeds? Japan comes in first at 61 megabytes per second. Korea is second with 46. Finland is third with 22. And the U.S. comes in at 16th with a measly 4.8.
The Telecommunications Act of 1996 forced companies like AT&T to share their networks. But they were not enforced by the FCC and ignored by service providers. In 2005, the Supreme Court sided with big internet corporations, stating that they didn't have to share their networks because they weren't classified as telecommunications services.
The regulation is set up to make telecommunication companies rich, and it's hurting the country because it's stifling the ability for all of its citizens to participate in, you know, a vibrant economic platform, which is the internet.
The unclear framework of the 1996 Act has made the market for broadband service what it is today, but there are solutions. As of 2011, over 50 cities are offering some sort of city-sponsored Wi-Fi, and hundreds more are planning or constructing broadband networks.
History shows that when something becomes a necessity and it's critical for people's well-being, the government does step in.
I think because the feds are just so unlikely to make this better, the closer you get to the local community, the more likely you are to find somebody who's interested in solving the problem.
If you would like to learn more or get involved with Personal Telco, go to www.personaltelco.net.
So thank you for the opportunity for the students to show these and share these. And just to underscore really fast what Russell from Personal Telco just said at the end there, it was really encouraging. There's obviously a lot of issues that are facing people right now, inequality and financial issues and any number of them. And it was really fantastic to see the number of solutions that individual Portlanders are working on out there. And thanks for the opportunity to share those. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Does anybody else want to testify on this report? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Move to accept the report.
Second.
Carl, please call the vote.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, thank you all very much. Those are good capstone projects. Aye.
Thank you so much.
Fritz?
Thank you for bearing with our technological challenges and for producing the videos. Very good work. Aye. I believe the last two items are deferred until next week, but we need to read the title. Is that correct,
yes,
Carla?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm.
Please read the title for 1336.
Accept guaranteed maximum price of $31,552,701 from Advanced American Construction, Inc. for the construction of the Bull Run Dam 2 Tower Improvements Project.
At the request of Commissioner in Charge, Randy Leonard, this is moved to next week. Please read the title for 1337.
Amend contract with Black and Veatch Corporation to increase compensation and scope of work for Bull Run Dam No. 2 Tower Improvements.
This is likewise moved to next week. Do we all agree that we've gone through the agenda for the morning? That was quite the back and forth. Thank you. The council is adjourned until tomorrow at 2 p.m.